We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag.
You big dummy.
Drew Brees, you're a sucker. You're going to be a sucker.
I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
Dale Arnold.
Baseball is still at a complete impasse right now.
Owners are backed into a corner right now.
The problem is I can't play 100 games and pay you full salary.
Rich Keefe.
All right, it's that time of the week. A little toe drag swag.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
Drew Brees.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Dale is off. Jermaine Wiggins is here. We're going to speak with one of his former teammates in Minnesota, Nate Burleson, now of the NFL Network. He'll join us at 1:15. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to do our top five Boston sports what-ifs.
And I got my movie, too, thing, so I'm excited about that.
And
is our movie, yeah, it's our movie thing, right?
The Dale and Keefe Movie Club nominees. Yes.
Well,
for
that.
This weekend, and then we'll discuss it next Tuesday.
If my movie don't win,
when's
the poll go out? It goes out today? Is that when
it'll go out as soon as we do the nominees at around 12:45.
Okay, and then the poll goes out today. So if my movie don't win, this
hours.
Is definitely rigged.
You think it's a sham?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some shamming going on here.
All right, interesting. Well, I have no idea what your pick's going to be.
Okay.
We'll also see if John and Shime see if they're taking it seriously this week or if they're not. You can never really
I don't know.
Tell.
I have a 3-1 lead on everyone right now in the winner. I have three winners, and Keith and Shime have one each. Dale has zero. Dale's
well,
not voting
this week.
Well,
yeah, I know, but you say winners. Like, one of your winners was not a good movie, though.
Yeah, but I got the most votes.
What was
and
the movie?
We all had to watch it. Really.
He picked
The
Secret
Life
of
Pets 2.
Okay. All right.
That's insane.
All right. Maybe that won because of, you know, being a kid's animated movie.
I think it was just people were messing with us because they knew they didn't have to watch it. They knew that we did, and then we're going to have to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
See, I watch all the movies, so I'm really picking because I
You've
like...
You've seen every movie.
Well, you know, Rich, we've had discussion.
I know. You're a movie buff.
I'm a movie buff. And so yep. I take the movie exercises, competitions, whatever you want to call them, I take them very serious. And uh-huh. I always expect to win because of my movie knowledge.
I'm really looking forward to what that's going to be. But the big topic, and it actually came out around this time yesterday when Wiggy and I were on, and it was Drew Brees did an interview with Yahoo Finance where he said that he would never respect somebody for or never allow somebody to disrespect the flag.
Hmm.
That's how he took, you know, Colin Kaepernick and other players, teammates even of his, that took a knee during the anthem. He was not having it. And as Wiggy predicted, he got smoked.
Yeah, he got dragged.
He got absolutely.
They took
crushed.
Him from one side of the galaxy to the next. Like it was like Avengers Endgame.
Yeah. Oh, they absolutely smoked him. Now, he did have an apology today, mm-hmm. which we can get into and some of the choice words that he used in his Instagram apology today, because it was just all afternoon and all night. Everybody. I mean, not just football players. You know, LeBron James was jumping in on it. Other celebrities were in there. Like, everybody was crushing Drew Brees. Let's first start with one of the greatest football players I've ever seen, Ed Reed. He filmed a reaction video while he was in the car.
And he's from New Orleans. He's from the Louisiana
right.
area, so.
Right. So here's what Ed Reed had to say.
I'm going to just get straight to it. I see Drew Brees trying to do his part in keeping black folk down.
You're a straight sucker for that shit, Drew Brees. We all got kids, so I'm gonna try to mind what I say right now. Drew Brees, you're a straight sucker, man. You're a sucker for that, bro. Why you think all these young people out here protesting? Why you think they out here protesting? The looting? I can see you speaking on the looting and saying that's bad, you don't support that. But why you think all these young people out here protesting? I really ain't got no more words for you, bro. You're a sucker, man. Straight BS, man. Straight BS. And for all my Saints fans, for all my New Orleans people who still like your ass just because they want to win games, y'all right with them. You understand? Drew Brees, you're a sucker. You're going to be a sucker. You understand? Punk, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heavy right there.
Yeah, he was pretty upset about it, and it wasn't long after that. I don't know if it came before that or after that. I saw on Twitter too the old jersey burning.
Mm-hmm.
You saw one of those.
Yes,
Drew Brees' jersey going up.
You know,
we saw the chants during one of the protests.
Think
down there.
About this: if they do have fans in the stadiums, right?
Uh-huh.
What do you think the when Drew Brees gets introduced? I mean, the boo birds are gonna be out.
Oh yeah, I mean he is. It's not going to be as bad because it's June and people have short memories, you know.
They really but do. they're not going to forget about this one, at least not for the first game.
Now, what about after the apology though? Now, his apology where he says he went to Instagram, he said he completely missed the mark. We read the whole apology earlier. He goes through the whole thing. He's apologizing to his friends, teammates, City of New Orleans, the black community. He recognizes that he should be a part of the solution. He can be a leader.
Right.
He then also added, towards the end here, I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday.
That's right. And see, that's where he then falls on his face, because up until that, he was headed in the right direction where, you know what, Black Twitter was going to be like, okay, all right, we respect your apology. But now with the apology that he put out there, you already see the response that a lot of people are then going, you know, this response that they're giving him. I think Kendrick Perkins had a tweet out there. I don't know if you have that in front of you, Rich, but Kendrick Perkins had a tweet basically saying, you can't pee on me and then tell me it's raining.
Tell me it's raining.
To Drew Brees. So is going to be... What's the reaction to his apology, and if it's, you know, perceived in a negative way, which it kind of seems like it looks like, he's still going to get dragged even more.
Well, and let's also add to it Steven Jackson, who after all this, we learned right in the immediate aftermath that he was actually very close friends with George Floyd.
Yeah.
And he was there in Minneapolis, and he was speaking at one point, and obviously very emotional. And so here was Steven Jackson's response.
Shout out Michael Thomas, man. Way to hold Drew Brees accountable, Mike. I don't give a damn if he throw you all them touchdowns. Hold his ass accountable. Wrong, bad timing, Drew Brees. Bad timing, bro. All right? You play for New Orleans and you live in New Orleans. All them black people in New Orleans that support you, Drew Brees, you got to be a little bit more sensitive to the timing, bro. You can't just be saying shit out your ass. Yeah, you should understand. But y'all got to hold all y'all white teammates accountable, bro. All that shit. You know what I'm saying? We got to end that shit now. Ain't no straddling the fence. All right? Y'all got to check y'all teammates. Michael Thomas, I salute you, bro. Drew Brees. Way to check his ass. If you ain't down with us, then, hey, you on the other side. All that friend shit and acting like you support us, acting like you really down with us, we ain't buying that shit. All that half-ass supporting us, we ain't down with that. The same motherfucker you half-ass supporting is the same motherfucker you throwing them passes to that make you get all these goddamn yards. Facts. But y'all don't like the truth.
So,
yo.
There's Steven Jackson. Yeah.
Yo.
What was Winston's MVP odds?
Got to go up plus 10,000.
Take it now.
Get up there, though. That's where you jump in.
Right. You might see Drew Brees just retire and get right into broadcasting.
I love the people. Like, one person was like, Drew Brees isn't ever going to be on somebody's top five QBs of all time list ever again.
No, he's not.
People were posting.
Really,
people were posting
anyway.
People were posting his indoor-outdoor like splits as well.
Oh, man.
All the
yeah.
Garbage time, 7 and 9 seasons is why this guy has the all-time passing.
I told
passing
you, man. They come in true.
Listen, we had this argument not too long ago before all of this stuff, and I said Aaron Rodgers better than Drew Brees, better player now, better player for his career, like better. And I think Dale said Brees, And again, this is pre-comments and whatever. You should just take the football player
yeah,
anyway,
just the football
right?
player.
It's all about the football player anyway.
I like Aaron Rodgers. I think I would take Aaron Rodgers over Drew Brees.
Aaron Rodgers, like Drew Brees, has never been a league MVP. Like he's put up crazy numbers. He's also played mm-hmm. indoors for the Saints in that division. Mm-hmm. And everybody gives Brady crap about their division. It's like, all right, well, his division's not always great either. Mm-hmm. And they just light it up. And it's true. He had a bunch of years where they missed the playoffs, and he's throwing for 5,000 yards.
Right.
Like, all right, you play long enough, you're going to pile those stats up. I'm not saying he's bad.
No, no,
but.
No.
Like he was outplayed by his backup in a playoff game, wild card this year.
No, that's true. That's true. He and you think about
a guy
it.
That's not even an actual quarterback, by the
no,
way.
No, he's not. No, he's a gunner on the punt.
Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. They gotta be boy. They must have Kool-Aid smiles.
Cam
on
must be kicking himself right now. He didn't take that deal to be backup on the Saints.
Yeah. Oh my God! Yeah, that is funny. So that's the latest with Drew Brees. I'm curious how guys like Steven Jackson and Ed Reed are going to take his apology. I wonder if they feel the same way that Wiggy does. We'll find out what Nate Burleson thinks about it. Again, of the NFL Network, he's going to join us about an hour from now. But we'll switch things up. When we come back, we're going to do our top five Boston sports what-ifs besides Len Bias, because we talked about Len Bias yesterday after ESPN played a whole bunch of his stuff the night before. So our list, we'll see how similar they are. I have no idea what Wiggy's is. He has no idea what mine is. John has said both of them are bad already, so we'll find out. Also, the Dale and Keefe Movie Club nominees.
Oof.
We'll do that at 12:45.
I got a good one.
I got to pick one. This is Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
There he is.
Middays 10 to 2
on WEEI.
Back here on Dale and Keefe. Dale off today. Jermaine Wiggins is here. Nate Burleson from the NFL Network and one of Wiggy's former teammates will join us 1 hour from now. Get his thoughts on Drew Brees and what he said and then his apology and the reaction to it and everything else. But we figured now would be a very good time, Wiggy, to do a little bit of a... I don't know if this is a classic radio discussion or what you would want to call it, but a Boston sports what if, because we spent some time yesterday talking about Len Bias and... We started talking with Sherrod Blakely about it, in fact, and he was saying if Len Bias was as good as everybody kind of thought that he would be, which, again, is a big if. Again, that's the whole point. Everybody's legacy might have been different. Like, guys that played late 80s, early 90s, mid-90s in the NBA, maybe Jordan doesn't win as much. Maybe Bird wins more. Maybe Magic wins less. Like, just what kind of impact that would have had. So it sort of got us thinking for our top five just Boston sports what ifs. And so we each compiled a list of five. I don't know what you have. You don't know what I have. But let's start. We'll each go back and forth with number five down to number one. How's that sound?
Okay, works for me.
All right, let's start with Wiggy's.
Wiggy's number five.
All right, so my number five on the list would be Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy G. Hmm. Where would the Patriots be if Jimmy G was your quarterback right now? Right?
All right, let me ask you this. At what point, so for this what if, when was Brady gone?
I would say that maybe they would have signed Garoppolo and invested a bunch of money to Brady and Garoppolo as your backup.
Okay.
So that would have been the scenario. Is like maybe you pay Jimmy G a bunch of money, and then you think that what you know this would have been Brady's last year anyway. So I guess maybe you're paying Jimmy G for what, 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he would have agreed. You could have franchised him. Again, that would have been a ton of money.
Well, that's part of the what if. Maybe that's what I said.
Right. Okay. What do you think would happen if he was the quarterback right now? How good do you, what would
I record think be? Then you're looking at a team where you can go, okay, I think we can now look at we have our future quarterback. I don't know what he's going to give you, but you have a guy that you feel like, okay, can help you get to back to that prominence of, you know, contending for a Super Bowl.
I think with the current roster that they have, I think they're a playoff team with them, but mm-hmm. I don't think they're a contender. At least
maybe not
year.
Now, but you'd have the guy
you're
for
in
the
a better
next
spot.
You know,
I don't
you know,
love him though.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's why he's number five on my list.
All right. Okay, let's go.
Chiefs number five.
Here you go. What if after the 2001 season, Jermaine Wiggins re-signed with the Patriots?
Ooh.
What if?
What if?
We've talked about this before, Wiggy. If Wiggy signs with the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
there's a chance that he is a member of three Super Bowl winning
right.
teams. So none of the other tight ends can say that.
The pass is dropped by Jermaine Wiggins, the tight end.
Yeah, but also, you go through, And the trickle-down effect, I know some people are like, oh, well, what are you talking about? Well, if you look back at some of these drafts where they took Ben Watson in the first round or they took Daniel Graham in the first round.
You would have had to do that. You could have got other positions for that.
You could have gotten other guys. I believe you could have gotten, was it like Ed Reed? Like there's a bunch of guys that you could have been able to draft. Instead, they were kind of chasing that position.
Right. And you would have had a potential Pro Bowl tight end at the position, putting up the numbers that you wanted from that position that you had been trying to, you know, recreate since Ben Coates, and you wouldn't have had to do that. And you wouldn't have had to pay him a lot of money.
2002 draft, Daniel Graham drafted 21st overall, Ed Reed 24th.
Right.
I mean, come on. What more do you want?
There you
go.
You would have had Ed Reed.
Uh-huh. Because that's definitely who you would have taken.
All right.
Let's go to the Wiggies.
Wiggies number 4.
All right. Tyler Seguin.
So the graphic lines up. You told me Tyler Seguin was your number 3, but if you'd like to continue as if he's your number 4, and then we'll have to correct the graphic later.
Oh, I didn't know there was a graphic line. Yeah, so switch that graphic line. I had Tyler Seguin at number 4 on my list, and the reason why I had him at number 4 on the list is because, you know, you always think about the Bruins, and they talked about their inability to get scoring from their, you know, from their top two lines. So imagine if you would have had Tyler Seguin and David Pastrnak. Think about you have your first line and your second line goal scorers. You think about Seguin and what he's been able to do since he's been in Dallas. You know, just think about his goals, 37, 37, 33, you know, 40, 33, 26. I mean, you would have had that guy and you would have had Pasta. So you know how we're always saying, where do they get that other scoring from when the first line is the only line that's been able to do it? Imagine Seguin next to Krejci.
I don't know. Could they afford him, though? At this point, trust me, I didn't want to. I didn't. I did not.
Are we getting
trade
into all the particulars, or are we playing the what if game?
you're right.
I'm just saying.
I hated that trade so much.
Yeah, I did too. I was a huge Tyler Seguin fan, and Cassidy too.
He would have scored 50 goals.
On the Cassidy, where like, hey, don't worry about defense. Go out there and score.
Yeah.
Keefe's number 4.
All right, my number 4, and I am going to get into the particulars with this one too. What if in 2003 the Alex Rodriguez trade to the Red Sox went through?
Ooh, you would have had my favorite player. I would have been completely upset, Manny Ramirez.
Right, and that's what was crazy to me. I remember when they were talking about this trade, and it almost went through, and you remember the reason was he signed this monster contract with the Rangers. And then part of the deal to Boston is he was willing to restructure and take less.
Mm-hmm.
So then there was like a whole fight about it, like, oh, you can't do this. And the players union rejected the proposal. And they're like, you can't do this. And because at one point, I think when A-Rod signed his deal, it was specifically twice as high as like Kevin Garnett's deal, which was the highest in the NBA at the time.
Yeah, wasn't it like 250 or something like that?
I think it was like 252, like just so they could say it was twice as high. And so... But here was the deal. So in 03, it would have been Alex Rodriguez to the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. It would have been Manny Ramirez and John Lester, who at the time was more of a prospect.
Mm-hmm.
But Ramirez and Lester to Texas. And then they would have done a subsequent trade where Nomar and Scott Williamson would have gone to the White Sox for Maglio Ordonez and Brandon McCarthy. And I just remember being so confused by it. I'm like, why? Like... Why would
I
you
wanted
get
Alex
rid of
Rodriguez.
Manny and Nomar? I was okay. I mean, I just thought you were giving up too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about when A-Rod went to the Yankees. Like, A-Rod moved positions, and they still kept him. They still kept
Cheetah.
Yeah,
but
if
you would have got me A-Rod, I did not want to. I'm not giving up Manny.
Right. That's the other thing. And Manny was so good. And think about it. So Manny, Nomar, essentially, and John Lester for A-Rod. And that was in 03, so you probably don't win... I mean, how many World Series do you win after that?
I don't know. Because
you win any? You
got to think that Manny was pretty big in, what was it, 04?
No, it was huge. It was the World Series MVP.
Right. So, I mean, if you don't, and we've seen kind of what A-Rod has been in the playoffs. Lived up to the hype. So, yeah, I remember
like
that.
So lucky that didn't go through.
Yeah, I did not want to give up Manny.
And he made the rivalry better when he ended up going to the Yankees. it made it even sweeter.
Right.
But like that deal, holy smokes, that would have been awful. All right, next.
Wiggy's number three.
So I probably screwed up the whole graphic then, John, with my number three then. All right, so my number three on the list, just for what he would have been able to do on the football field, because you always got to... You always got to put the disclaimer on that. Yes, it's screwed up, so don't buy the graphic, is Aaron Hernandez. What could have been if you would have had him and Gronk and Hernandez wasn't a stone-cold killer? It was just a regular dude out there playing football and a law-abiding citizen. What could the Patriots have won in another couple of Super Bowls because of what you would have been able to do on offense? And then Julian Edelman would have came into his own, and so you would have had Hernandez, Gronk, and Edelman.
Right, and think about it. I mean, he still would have been playing right now. Like he would have been on that Eagles team. Now, the offense scored a lot of points. I don't know if it would have made a huge difference. But even last year, you know, playing without Gronk, you would have had him.
Right.
Yeah.
He'd still, you know, right. It's, you know, but unfortunately, you know, when you look at it, he was a stone cold killer.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. All right.
Keefe's number three.
All right. My number three is, what if the Celtics won the 2007 draft lottery? This was, you know, tanking for Greg Oden or Kevin Durant.
Right.
And now Danny Ainge and the reports are that they would have taken Kevin Durant.
Okay.
So let's just take him at his word, right? Because remember there was that thing where he was sitting with his mom during the during the college game. And I think Danny also proved, you know, a couple drafts ago when everybody's saying Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball were the top two picks. He had the number one pick, traded down, and took Tatum. So even if we take him at his word, let's say he doesn't take Greg Oden and is screwed. He ends up taking Kevin Durant. He's one of the best players in the NBA.
Right.
But that means you don't get the fifth pick, you don't trade it for Ray Allen, and then you don't sign Kevin Garnett. So this is one of the classic what-ifs to me because going back to 08, or the start of that season, would you rather have Durant and You would have had Pierce. But, you know, does Pierce want to wait around as Durant develops into a superstar?
Uh-huh.
But you never would have had Garnett. You never would have had Ray Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you win more? Do you win two titles with Durant?
Yes.
Probably not.
I would have taken Durant because I think you
Durant and Westbrook couldn't win.
No. But I think eventually Durant, you would have added some pieces along with Durant. Right.
Yeah,
you know, players and Durant. When you look at him as a player, and I take nothing away from KG, but you look at what kind of Kevin Durant has turned into, and you would have got those Kevin Durant Golden State years.
It's got such a trickle down effect because that formed the Pierce, Garnett, Allen Celtics.
You would have had KD, Pierce, and then you could have find whoever that next player was.
And then the other thing was, because you still had Perk, you still had Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron claims that the reason they put that team together with the Miami Heat was because they saw how good the Celtics were, and they're like, that's how you have to do it.
Right.
So I wonder if you even want to take it one step further, does LeBron even go to Miami if the Celtics are just Pierce and Durant or, you know, whoever they trade Pierce for to play with Durant or whatever? So I don't know. But that's my number three.
Wiggy's number two.
All right, so the graphic screwed. When did they put the graphic out? Where did it go?
That's why I asked you guys for your list last night.
I gave you my list.
Yeah, and then I gave it to them, and they made the graphic, and we go into the segment. Changed the order.
You know,
did you turn it upside down or something?
No.
What do you guys do?
As of now, Wiggy's original number four, I hope, is about to be his number two, or else the whole thing's screwed.
Okay.
His number two was his three, and his three was his four.
See, I think where we got we got lost in translation is because I just gave him five guys. I didn't give it to him in a specific order.
Well, I specifically said, because we said we're going to do this. Len Bias is not going to be on either list.
Yeah. Right.
Wiggy gives
Bias.
Me his list with Len Bias as number one.
All right.
So I say, okay, Len Bias isn't on the list. I need another one.
Right.
And then
they were all Len Bias.
So hours later, Wiggy's like, I got no idea for another guy. Give me one. I gave him Jimmy Garoppolo, which I don't know how that one took
that
everyone so long.
Yeah, a what if doesn't have to be a person.
Yeah, I know.
What if could be trades and
Well,
stuff.
My number two what if isn't particularly a person. It's, you ready for my number two what if?
I am.
Number two, what if is if the lottery went the way it's supposed to go in 1997 NBA draft, the Celtics had the best chance to get the number one overall pick, and that player would have been Tim Duncan.
I agree completely with this one. This one's so, and this one hurts so bad too, because they ended up getting the number three pick, Chauncey Billups, and the number five pick, Ron Mercer.
Right.
And so Mercer flamed out, and they traded Billups before he got really good.
So you
that was horrible.
Right. You potentially, if the lottery works the way it always works, and the team that has the best odds usually gets the number one overall pick, Tim Duncan, 1997. And then now when you get to maybe 2007, does Kevin Durant still floating around and Duncan still playing, or are you then – But I don't know.
You wouldn't have been that bad, though. If you had Duncan, you're not getting Durant.
Okay.
Because 10 years later, Duncan would have been so good.
Okay.
But if you had Tim Duncan and Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker, Walker's still on the team then.
Right.
Like, you would have been, they would have been a force. Duncan, to me, is one of, like, the 10 greatest players of all time.
Right.
He's just quiet and, like, you know, we don't really talk about him a lot. But if they had gotten Duncan,
mm-hmm.
that's even more significant. Like, as good as Durant is, I feel like Duncan would, you're like, guaranteed some championships.
Yes.
Durant, you're like, probably, and you're in the mix, and he's a great player, and he might win an MVP or two. But, yeah, the Duncan one was an absolute killer. And then what you got, Chauncey Billups was a good pick, actually, but they just never let it really materialize.
Right.
It was gone. And then Ron Mercer, you're like, all right, well, this isn't what I signed up for. That was terrible.
So that's
a good one.
Yeah, that wasn't a player, but it was my pick.
Chiefs number two.
It's the exact same. We just talked about it. It was the exact same. It was the 97 lottery. I have two lotteries on my list, 10 years apart, and they were both, you know, there are certain years where you know a guy is going to be really, really good, whether it was like the Shaq draft, the Ewing draft, the LeBron draft, and then the Duncan draft. Some of the others, you're kind of like, yeah, I think he's going to be really good, or there's a chance he's going to be really good, or like he's the clear-cut guy for this draft. But those other ones, you knew, like, Duncan lived up to the hype. He was more like a rare four-year college player.
Mm-hmm.
He was so good. And then right away, what did they win the title in his second year or third year with the Spurs?
Yeah, it was
like
pretty
99?
Quick. Yeah, it was pretty
like
quick.
Second year. He went to the title, and he was a four. So, yeah, that to me is definitely one of the all-time what ifs. All right, what is Wiggy's number one?
Wiggy's number one.
And staying in the
basketball. This better be one that you gave me or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's Len Bias.
Staying in the basketball world, it is Reggie Lewis.
Yeah,
we talked about Len Bias and the what if with him, but think about that team and how, because I think Reggie and Len are kind of like a package deal. So Reggie Lewis, the type of player he was, we've seen what he was in the NBA. He was just kind of coming to his own. He was an all-star caliber player. He did a little bit of everything. And what would the Celtics have been like if, you know, the sad story of Reggie Lewis passing away, if he doesn't, you know, you think about what that Celtics team could have been, you know, because he would have got the torch from Bird. And, you know, even when, you know, ultimately, you know, Len Bias passed away, you were still like, okay, Reggie's the guy that can maybe still carry this team and continue to keep them at that level. And then when you lost Reggie and Len Bias, it was like, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. He was an all-star in 92 where he averaged like 21 points a game, five rebounds. The next year in 93, his last season, wasn't an all-star, but it was like the numbers were pretty much identical. So he was just turning into that really consistent player. He was only 27 years old.
Right.
So, you know, you would have had a few more years, certainly, like, in his prime. And if you combined him with Len Bias, I mean, and then think about it. If they were able to somehow find a third player, it would have been the new big three prior to what we saw. Like, they would have literally taken the torch from Bird, McCallum, Parrish and been Bias, Lewis and throw it a third guy.
And who knows how long they carry it for until you're able to get, you know, they carry it for until you're able
whoever
to.
Else, yeah.
yeah, until you're exactly. able to pass it on to the next
All
next
right,
big
that's
three.
A good one. That's a good
Chiefs
one.
Number one.
Yeah, this one I think is probably most people's number ones, although there's a lot to choose from. And it's very simply, what if Drew Bledsoe didn't get hurt? because I know, and we had this discussion during the year a little bit about how, you know, obviously the Patriots saw something in Brady, you know, not just when they drafted him, because that was super late, so not even then, but just to keep him on the roster with four quarterbacks in 2000, and then he was the backup, so he sort of moved up the depth chart in 01, and so they clearly liked him, but Bledsoe had that contract, so even if they wanted to move on from Bledsoe,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't going to be during the 01 season, I don't think. You were there.
Yeah,
I mean, as much as they liked Brady, there's no chance they were going to bench him, right? They just signed him,
like you said, to that big contract, so Drew was the guy, right? And mm-hmm. you would think that maybe they would have gave him the 01 season, probably the 02 season, and then if they're struggling again, Belichick's probably getting fired, and maybe they're looking for a new coach to maybe see if he can get Drew back. Because Drew had went to the Super Bowl in 96, so maybe they're looking for a coach that says, okay, can we help get Drew back to that point? So maybe Belichick is fired after a couple of years if they're not able to be successful.
And I also think, like, even if they, let's say, you know, because he obviously made a big coaching decision when he was in Cleveland, right? Bernie Kosar.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he does the same thing to Bledsoe. I just don't think it's during the 01 season. And then if you guys don't win the Super Bowl in 01,
right,
and if Brady isn't the quarterback to beat the greatest show on turf, even if he eventually becomes a starter, he doesn't have that as his first season,
mm-hmm.
and who knows how the rest of it plays out. Like, I'm sure he's so good that he would have gotten an opportunity here or somewhere, and he probably would have proven people, like, all right, here, I'm good. But without that part of it, because for a while, and then they missed the playoffs in 02, and then they win it in 03 or 04, he hadn't lost a playoff game for three straight years. Like, it was just piling up these mm-hmm. crazy numbers. I just don't think you could have a better – like first year as a starter.
Who do you think it affects more, Brady or Bill? See, I think it affects Bill more than anything because, you said,
yeah,
Brady,
that's his second job.
Brady maybe is able to go somewhere else, get the opportunity, and then do what he, you know, do what he was able to do, right, as a player. Where Bill, all right, Drew stays the quarterback in 01, not very successful. Then Drew's probably the quarterback in 02, right? Or,
yeah,
you know, because you paid him that money, so maybe he's an 0-2. And then they probably, like I said, they have to make a decision. Is it Drew or is it Belichick?
Do you think you would have made the playoffs with Bledsoe that year?
I think Drew was good enough to help us get to the playoffs. I don't know how the season goes.
You were, what, 0-2 at the time?
Yeah, so.
It's early, but
yeah,
still.
It's still early to tell. But, you know. Drew was obviously a Super Bowl caliber quarterback.
Right. You know, he was good.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I said what becomes of Bill Belichick? I don't think he necessarily makes the decision to pull the plug on Bledsoe, let's say week 12. Does he then make the decision going into his third year as the coach of this team to let Bledsoe compete mm-hmm. with Brady? Or does he say, all right, I'm going to give Drew another year, and then does Kraft make the decision that, okay, if you're not able to turn this thing around, Bill, we're going in another direction?
So there you go. There are our top five Boston sports what-ifs, and we apparently have a graphic that may or may not be accurate.
Yes.
Did we tweet that out already, definitely... John? Are we going to?
Oh, we already tweeted it out.
Yeah, the graphic
Sean,
is...
we did. Thank you.
It's not accurate on my
side. It's not accurate at all, but... You can weigh in, and then you can respond on there. There's so many ones that we even missed, too, so feel
well, what's
free
my
to...
What was my graphic, then? How was my list on the original?
So your number four, it actually ended up working out for the better because you and Keith both had the 97 draft lottery as your number twos,
okay.
But the list that you had sent me originally had it as number four, mm-hmm. and Sagan was three, and Aaron Hernandez was two.
Oh, okay. I mean, it could go either way. That works for me, too. That graphic works. I could, you know, the order is...
Hold on. Let me dump this segment. We'll just do it again.
Yeah, let's start it. Let's start it fresh. We still got time. We're here till 2. We'll do it. We'll do it coming
I
back.
Just thought it was like the five
moments. Winkies number five.
The five Boston sports what-if moments. So man, that was my fault.
You didn't say moments. You picked player. You picked people.
Well, no. I'm
that's also not how you did it.
Well, I picked the
and it says here on
the
your,
1997
on the
NBA draft was not a specific
okay, so
person.
One.
Yeah, and then the rest were people.
Yeah, but on this one it says Jimmy Garoppolo trade. When Wiggy said it, he was just like, "What if he's still here?"
Yeah,
Yeah, what if the trade didn't happen?
Yeah, what if the trade that was the impression.
Well, then he would have signed somewhere in free agency.
Well, no. I was just saying if they were able to keep him here. So there's no trade.
It was a great segment.
It was a good segment. Go back and listen to it.
People can check it out if they want.
Next time, call me, not text me, and explain to me over the call.
I explained it to you in person before you left the station.
Yeah, you did.
You guys, let's pick that up off
the air. I foul tipped that one.
Nate Burleson's going to join us. He's still alive.
I'm going to make up for it on my list. I'm going to make up for it on the movies.
All right, we're going to talk movies. We got the Dale Keefe Movie Club nominees. Wiggy, myself, John, and Chime are going to give 4 nominees. You guys will be able to vote on it on Twitter, and then we will discuss it next week. So we'll do the nominees coming up next.
The reviews are in.
First of all, I'm a Daleaholic. You guys listening to you two together is great.
Thanks for being on every day and entertaining us.
This is Dale and Keith.
Hi, Dale.
This show has really grown on me. Rich is whacked.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
It's time for the Dale and Keith Movie Club.
How do you like them apples?
And the nominees are...
Back here at Dale and Keefe, no Dale today. Wiggy is here, and it's time once again for our nominees for the Dale and Keefe Movie Club, as we will continue to do so until there are sports back. So we have sort of an end date on that, at least, right? We can take this through July, it feels like. Now, last week I wasn't here, but Shime had the winner, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. John had the winner.
Yeah, Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
You don't really like Uncut Gems.
It was a good movie, but it wasn't better than my movie, All Day and a Night.
Okay, so you're upset that you lost still. So you're
yeah, I lost.
Some redemption.
Yeah, I didn't even come. Did I come in third place? I might have come in third place.
Probably.
Yeah.
You didn't come in first. That's all that matters.
We only care about the winners here. He picked the
movie that everybody knows, Uncut Gems.
Yeah, it's not exactly a sleeper, but hey, it was just new on Netflix. These are all Netflix movies, by the way.
Okay.
So you have between now and through the weekend to watch them, and we'll discuss it some point next week. And so let's start with John, right? Let's get the winners. Winners go first.
Yeah, so this movie actually came out in 2017, which 2017 was a very good year for movies, and it sort of went overlooked. It is a movie about the area that surrounds the Magic Kingdom in Florida. So the Magic Kingdom is obviously this big, you know, it looks over the area. Everyone can see it from everywhere. But the area around it is very impoverished as well, and this is about a group of children that grow up in that area, and this is called the Florida Project.
The man who lives in here gets arrested a lot.
These are the rooms we're not supposed to go in. But let's go anyway.
Could you give us some change, please?
The doctor said we have asthma and we gotta eat ice cream right away.
Here you go.
Hey, Lee, got a situation here. Open up.
It's only second week of the summer, and there's already been a dead fish in the pool.
We're trying to get it back alive.
Water balloons thrown at tourists.
Yeah, so much of the movie is about Willem Dafoe's interactions
with these
children.
Is that the movie you're picking?
Yeah.
Come on.
Really?
This is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. It is heartbreaking.
Stop it.
You will absolutely stop.
Hold on a second. One of the greatest movies you've ever seen.
Yeah.
How long is that list? How many movies would you say that about?
I mean, I've seen a lot of movies that I really like. A couple hundred, maybe.
Okay, that's insane. That's not even something you should tag on to a movie, then.
Right.
That's one of the greatest I've ever seen. I'm thinking, what, Wig? Top 10?
Easy top 10.
Yeah.
It's got to be top 10. If I'm going to sit there and say, maybe even 5.
That movie,
gonna go
movies that
outright. So this is one of the 200 best movies you've seen?
I'd say it's one of the 100 best movies I've ever seen.
It's in your top 100.
Have you seen the movie, Keith?
No, and I don't think I'm going to, unless it wins the poll.
Just
the
trailer.
Going to,
itself makes you not want to see
it. This one's not
winning.
Yeah.
Like, movies that make
snore.
Me this
John's
movie
reign
made,
of terror is over.
This movie made me sloppy cry, and that is my
oh,
bar.
That's what I want. That's what I
yeah,
that's
in this
going
time
on,
of
like,
hectic chaos, all we want is to cry, right?
Yeah, you know what I need? Like, I'm not upset enough. Like, I am not feeling depressed enough about everything that's going
people
on.
People wanted
in the
to
world.
Cry, I would have won in a runaway with Room, so I don't think this one's winning either.
Yeah, Shime tried this. Shime tried the sad
and it failed
cry
miserably.
Yeah, he got smoked. He got smoked and he learned his lesson.
All right,
he
who's next?
For the comedy and he won. Anybody else?
Swallow your
so that's
tongues
really
tomorrow.
Going up on the poll. The
yeah.
Project.
And it'll probably win because I always win.
I was hoping for something good.
Me too. I was really hoping for something good. All right, who wants to go next?
Well, how's the order? Doesn't matter.
That doesn't really matter.
I'm going to take control here.
There you
Sean's
go. Make an executive
so
decision.
I have started going with a theme here. I've been picking a comedy every
yes.
week, and I enjoy it because
Love Birds was a good one from
it,
last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, and if it and that way, you know, if my movie wins, I get a couple good laughs, and this movie makes me laugh. There's one quote from this movie that I use literally all the time, and that would be the other guys.
Ooh.
Nobody fights crime like these guys.
Somebody call 911. Holy shit.
And then there's the other guys.
Stop humming that song.
Yeah. Real characters.
Yeah. You stopping me?
What?
I think you're a fake cop.
I hear a guy who's probably a little insecure.
All units, we've got a possible jumper.
So this is Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg. You're also featuring The Rock, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yep.
Rob Riggle. Yep. Like, this movie, it's just... And when they say it's desk good. Pop, I use that all the time. When I do something I don't mean to do, I go, oh, desk pop. All the time. So
that's good. No, that's a good movie.
Is it Craig Wayans that's in it? Or
it's Damon Wayans Jr., I think.
Damon Wayans Jr., yeah, he's funny in this one, too. Man, Gator, don't play that. Yes, that's a funny one. I do like that.
So, you know what? I went with a comedy that I know I laugh at every time, so yeah, I went with The Other Guys.
That's a good one. I like The Other Guys. I wish it was rated R, so it'd give me a little bit more, a little bit more of that racier, raunchier comedy. But, so solid. I'd say that's really solid right there. Solid pick.
All right, Wiggy, why don't you go next?
I thought you were going next, Rich.
Oh, I'm going next. Sorry. Yes. Sorry.
Because I'm saving the best for last.
I have not gone with a horror movie yet. I've always sort of thought maybe I'll do a horror movie. I'm a big horror movie guy. So are you, Wiggy? You've come on the Dork Podcast to talk about horror movies in the past.
I've never been on the Dork Podcast.
That's not true.
Yes, you have. Multiple times in fact.
You talked about horror movies with Keith
in October.
Did
a whole horror
October.
Movie thing in studio, back when we were allowed to all be in studio.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe
you
I did.
You were on there. Remember we talked about From Dusk Till Dawn and then we talked about
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yes. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Jeez, my bad.
Unreal.
All right, well, this is one that came out in 2012. It's directed by Scott Derrickson, who went on to do Doctor Strange. This movie is Sinister.
New details today in the grisly murders of a local family found earlier this week.
Kind of a bummer.
That's the family who lived here.
You think these are serial murders?
I don't know. The first one I found dates back to the 60s. Between all these cases is the symbol.
The symbol is associated with a pagan deity named Bagul. He consumes the souls of humans.
What do you think of that?
I did see Sinister, and I did like it. I thought Ethan Hawke was terrific in it.
He was great.
You know, they had a sequel, Sinister 2, which I did see as well. Mm-hmm. But Sinister was a very good one.
Thank you. Maybe people have missed it. Maybe you missed it. It's a horror movie that's come out in the last 10 years, and it was it was pretty scary, and I just saw it was on Netflix. It's less than 2 hours. You could sit down and enjoy that. So that's my pick, and
Bagul.
Last but not least.
All right, last but not least, the movie that should win and everybody should see, Shime. I'm not even, it doesn't need no introduction, just intro with John Anderson.
It's showtime, y'all. You love him and I love him. Put your hands together.
Dolomite is my name.
Hey, you know, Auntie, I was thinking about putting out a comedy record.
Comedy? You've been a singer, a shake dancer?
Ha! That's real hard to break in. I'll do whatever it takes to get in.
I come up with a new character.
Dolomite is my name!
Dolomite is my name, and bleeping up is my game. Now, if you don't know Dolomite, it stars Eddie Murphy, which he basically, it's the life story of Rudy Ray Moore, who's a struggling artist trying to get his music played. But then he kind of gets into, he's like the godfather of hip hop, because if you kind of think about what he then did, he became like one of his biggest things was the Signified Monkey way down in the jungle. I know you've heard that before. Mm-hmm. And he became like this like comedian slash actor who had all of these like during the blaxploitation era movies where he had all these movies that came out in the 70s of, you know, it was like it was like sex, karate, drugs, and, you know, Mike Epps is in it, Craig Robinson, Wesley Snipes is in it. I'm telling you, if you haven't seen Dolomite Is My Name, you better check it out on Netflix with Eddie Murphy. This movie should win. If it don't win, I'm saying...
Florida Project.
No, get out of here, Florida Project.
Right, listen, I like the other guys. I thought that was good. Sinister was good. But Dolomite Is My Name is the best. The Florida Project flushed that one down the toilet. This one should win by a landslide.
Dolomite was awesome. I absolutely loved it. And if, I assume, Wiggy, have you seen the original movie?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The original. Was that something else?
Yes, the movie that like, he's trying to get off the ground.
Correct.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was really impressive, too. And you think about, he basically took stories that people would be like talking about on the street, mm-hmm. and then he brought it to the stage.
Right.
And at the time, people were like, this isn't going to work. And he's like, yeah, it is. Like, it's funny. And he also, like, the way he would go about it is it was just like ripping guys or ripping himself or mm-hmm. ripping everybody. And it was like, he would do it almost like in a rhyme.
Yes.
And that's why I think a lot of guys, like in hip hop, use him as like influence.
Right. And if you do get a chance to go see, it's like during the, you know, the original movie. If you do get a chance, it's more of those movies like The Shaft, Superfly. Pam Grier, she's done a bunch of them. Coffee Brown, you know, those blaxploitation movies where they were funny. They were just like, they were low budget made, but they were just like, you know, it was like those funny B black movies from, you know, the 70s. And Dolomite was one of them that you can definitely check out.
All right, so we're going to put the poll up on at Dale Keefe, WEEI. You can vote, and you have 24 hours to vote. So tomorrow around this time, we will let you know who has won. Fingers crossed for Dolomite, Sinister, or the other guys. The Florida Project is also on there. All
four of
these
are king, huh?
They're all available on Netflix. No, just because you have picked the movies that people have seen doesn't mean that any of them are necessarily good.
They won.
Well, and first of all, one of the ones that you picked, really it was a Mutt pick. So Mutt gets credit for Uncut Gems.
It's because there were five people.
Well, somebody's
going
to have four options.
I don't know if it seems like with John and his picks, it doesn't seem like he really is going for the movies that you're going to go, oh, okay, I want to see this movie. Or I remember this movie.
After you see it, you're going to want to see it.
The Florida.
Again?
You're
going to
want to
see it twice?
And I do like William Dafoe.
Retroactively.
And I do like William.
Once you see the movie, is there something for us to talk about next week? Or are we going to see it and be like, just crying, like you were saying, you're crying?
We'll all bring in a mason jar with our tears in them and show them to each other.
No, I don't want to do that.
If I was going to say William Dafoe, he was really good in
Spider-Man.
Boondock Saints.
Yeah, that he was. Too.
Yes, he was really good.
He's good in everything that he does.
Yeah, I like him as an actor. What was he in? Was it Full Metal Jacket?
No, he was in Platoon.
Platoon, okay. All
right. Yeah.
One of those military
movies.
He was
good in that, too. Yeah, he's really good. He's a guy that wasn't he supposed to be cast as like the Joker like a whole bunch of times? And he would have been perfect for it.
Was he?
He's got like a...
He's got
a unique look.
Yeah. He was the Green Goblin in Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, correct. Yes, he was.
The original Spider-Man.
With Tobey Maguire, who apparently, he's like a bad dude.
Well, so
guys,
apparently,
I Molly's Game. Do you guys see Molly's
Game?
Yeah,
so
I know that
Molly's
was one of your
Game. Molly's Game. Actually, Keith, when I watched that movie with my roommates, I said the Michael Cera character is obviously Tobey Maguire, and then I checked the Wikipedia page after, and it was.
Yeah, 100% right.
I didn't see. Molly's
I remember loving Jeremy Bloom, her brother, who was the kid that went to Colorado and was also the world or the U.S.'s best like mogul skier or freestyle skier. And the NCAA stepped in because he was getting money to ski, and they were like, you can't play. So he couldn't play his last 2 years at Colorado, where he's like a return guy and a receiver. He's a little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he still got drafted by the Eagles. And I don't know if like injuries or I don't think he really played much. But he had like a pretty crazy career. And then like, oh, his sister was running like the biggest poker rooms in the country.
And if my movie does win, I have another one all lined up for the next time.
You're already ready.
Yes. Beast of No Nation.
Well, spoiler. All right. So there are the nominees. So go to at Dale Keefe, WEEI, and you can vote there. We got Nate Burleson from the NFL Network coming up at 1:15. This is Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.